In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. We are looking at, in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 161, Powers and Duties of Priest. We have a picture of the different books of the Catholic Church or the priesthood. The caption will explain, rubrics are rules for the proper execution of the services of the Church, for the exact conduct of any liturgical function. The rubrics of the Church are contained in the Missal, Breviary, Ritual, Pontifical, and Ceremonial. In books, rubrics are printed in red for clearness and distinction. The chief liturgical books of the Latin Rite are six. The Missal contains all the prayers and ceremonies used for Mass for each day of the year. The Breviary is the priest's prayer book containing the divine office without chant. The ritual contains all the services needed by a priest which are not in the Missal or Breviary, such as the administration of the sacraments. The pontifical and ceremonial are the bishop's books. They contain the rites for episcopal functions, such as pontifical mass, confirmation, ordinations, consecration of altars, etc. The martyrology is an enlarged calendar giving names and short accounts of the lives of the principal saints commemorated on each day of the year in different parts of the Catholic world. First question, what are the effects of ordination to the priesthood? The effects are, 1, an increase of sanctifying grace. One of the purposes of God for calling a man to the sacred ministry is to have him offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This is a most high office, for the accomplishment of which God surely gives grace and more grace. Sacramental grace, through which the priest has God's help in his sacred ministry. The duties of God's ministers are innumerable and difficult. They must have sacramental grace, and God, who knows this well, certainly furnishes all necessary with the sacrament of holy orders. Third, a character. So the effects of the sacrament of ordination. The third one is character. It's a lasting forever, which is a sharing in the priesthood of Christ and which gives the priest supernatural powers. Once a man is ordained a priest, he is a priest forever. The sacrament imprints an indelible mark in the soul. It cannot therefore be repeated. What are the chief supernatural powers of the priest? The chief supernatural powers of the priest are to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and to forgive sins in the sacrament of penance. A priest is given the power to celebrate Mass and administer the sacraments, accept holy orders and confirmation. A bishop can administer all the sacraments. He has the plenitude of power, being made successor of the apostles. The priests who apostatize or are suspended or excommunicated still remain priests. They retain the power, although not the authority, of priesthood. For example, they have the power of saying a true Mass, although they would sin grievously if they do so. However, they cannot forgive sin, except in the case of the dying. Absolution is a judicial power and needs jurisdiction. The schismatical Greek priests have received their orders from validly ordained bishops. Therefore, even though they are not united to the Catholic Church, they have the power to say Mass. When these schismatical priests return to the unity of the Church, they are not reordained. Except for the schismatical churches, no non-Catholic denomination has validly ordained bishops. None has true priests. A number of these non-Catholic denominations call some of their ministers bishops, but they are so only in name, as they have not been validly ordained, and so with their other ministers, they are not priests, since they receive no valid orders. What are the two classes of priests? They are secular priest and religious priest. Secular or diocesan priests are those who belong to a diocese. They are bound to obey the bishop, and they may not change from one diocese to another without the consent of the bishop of both dioceses. Secular priests are generally in charge of the parishes, that is, they act as parish priests or pastors, also called rectors. Religious or regular priests are those who are members of religious orders or congregations, such as the Augustinians, Benedictines, Dominicans, Franciscans, Jesuits, Redemptorists, Salesians, etc. Religious are bound by the three evangelical vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. They vow obedience to their superiors and live in the community with their brethren. Not all members of religious communities are priests. Many take the religious vows but do not receive the sacrament of holy orders. That is, they are not ordained. Then we call them brothers. What are the chief duties of a priest? The chief duties of a priest are to live in celibacy and to recite the divine office daily. Other duties vary in accordance with the function undertaken or position held. The priestly vow of celibacy is taken when a man is received in the subdiaconate. Catholic priests do not marry, in imitation of Christ himself. The apostles, after they were called to the ministry, left all they had. Elias, Eliseus, Jeremias, and St. John the Baptist lived in celibacy. A priest is ordained for the exclusive service of God. His talents, his time, his very life belong to his service. St. Paul says, quote, "He who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please God, whereas he who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and he is divided," from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 to 33. A priest must read the divine office, a series of prayers in the breviary. For this, approximately 1 hour is needed every day. The office is in prescribed and fixed order, including psalms, canticles, writings of the Old Testament prophets and of apostles and fathers of the church, passages from the Gospels, hymns, and special prayers in honor of the Blessed Mother and the saints. The reading of the divine office has not only devotional value as prayer, it also has a practical value in refreshing the priest's memory regarding much of which he has learned, keeping him mentally alert, better qualified for his duties. A pastor must be ready to visit the dying at any hour of the day or night, even though the patient be suffering from a contagious disease. He must instruct his people and guard them from harm. A pastor is the shepherd of his flock. He must build and maintain a church, a convent, a school. He must hear confessions hour after hour, as long as there is need. He must administer the sacraments, say Mass, attend to the poor, etc. Religious or regular priests generally devote themselves to prayer and to the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. They have charge of schools, hospitals, orphanages, and other charitable institutions. They organize missions and retreats and engage in press work and religious propaganda. Religious are usually employed by the Pope as missionaries to convert the pagans. In many cases, they also act as parish priests. That completes our reading for today's lesson? Do we have any questions or comments? Okay. All right, it mentioned, I think, in one of the previous lessons that the subdiaconate was the first of the major orders, and it is when a man becomes a subdeacon that he takes those vows of celibacy. And I think it is worthwhile because a number of people tend to confuse the priesthood with the religious order. They are two separate paths, though the same person can take both paths simultaneously. So the priest is not necessarily a brother, nor is the brother necessarily a priest, but it is possible that the priest can be both a brother and a priest at the same time. So they are two paths in this world or to sanctity, and they may intertwine with one another, but they are not the same thing. So the religious, when he makes his vows in religion, the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and he lives the religious life, that is not an ordination. That is not a sacrament at all. It is a devotion of his way of life. The priesthood is a sacrament, and it is one of those sacraments that cannot be repeated. But if you look at the religious priest, he's under, you might say, a double obligation to celibacy by his religious vows and by the vows he took as a subdeacon. And I believe those are also repeated at each stage from then on to the diaconate, the priesthood, etc. So we see those going side by side, but they can also occur simultaneously in the same individual. The priesthood is also it is one sacrament, but there is basically two levels, the priesthood and the episcopacy, are the highest levels of the sacrament of holy orders. Any questions, comments? No? Then we will end with our... Oh, I have something. Oh, can I please explain what is meant by a schismatical priest? The schism. Schism is refusal to maintain unity or charity with the Catholic Church or with the members of the Catholic Church. Usually the schismatics want to refuse the authority of their superior over them. So they separate from the Church. In the seminary, there's a little catchy little phrase that heresy and schism are basically like two sides of the same coin. The moment the schismatic decides he's not going to recognize the authority, he's not going to obey the authority over him, he very quickly falls into heresy by denying one doctrine or another. And the heretic, as long as he holds on to his false doctrine, he is going to break the unity with the true church or true charity with the true church, and therefore he becomes schismatic. So they are hand in hand, but briefly, the schismatic has just refused unity with the church. The heretic has denied doctrine. And how do the Greek churches stand today? They are still in schism, especially since Vatican II. We have a big problem with how are they going to be reunited. There was in the past parts of the Greek church or the schismatics, the Orthodox, the Eastern ones that united with Rome, and they were given, I don't know if they were given the title or they were just called the Uniates. So they were schismatics that returned to unity with the church. And of course, their priests were not or reordained because they have valid ordinations. The heretics in denying the doctrine tend to have invalid orders because they don't really believe in the sacraments, or they do not believe in them correctly, and so they have a false idea about the sacraments, and therefore they lack true priesthood. And so we see that, I think, principally in the Church of England. The Anglicans, they still hold the title of priest and bishops and archbishops, and they continue using these terminologies and the external of these things, but the church has declared these are invalid orders. So the Anglican priest is not a priest at all. And traditionally, the Anglican priest, if he wanted to function as a priest in the Catholic Church upon his conversion, he would have to start over at the beginning. He would have to be ordained because he is not a priest. Despite whatever position he held in the Anglican Church, it means nothing. Whereas the schismatic priest who wants to convert and enter the true church, he is not reordained because he has valid orders. And yes, you may not attend their services, etc. Obviously, heretics with invalid orders, it would be useless to attend their ceremonies. The schismatics, you can only approach them in articulo mortal, which means in the moment of death. They may come to, you may receive absolution and go to confession to a true priest, even though he is in schism and not in union with the true church. But Catholics are not allowed to attend the services of heretics or schismatics. Anything else? Okay. And we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et mania semper. Amen.